Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it's always exciting to hear new creative voices, ones that don't sound like the last three shows you saw, or the movie they're based on, or are simply filler until you get to the next song in a theatrical version of someone's playlist. Now, I bring this up because I just saw two this past week in, of all places, Los Angeles, which, as I have said before, has turned into a much more interesting theater city. Yes, most of the big productions come from Broadway. Right now, the excitement is palpable with Dear Evan Hansen and A Bronx Tale approaching. But there are plenty of areas in the city like Los Feliz and Atwater Village where smaller, edgier, and entertaining things are happening on stage. Now, the Kirk Douglas Theater in Culver City is a case in point, a lovely venue in a rapidly reviving area. It goes back and forth between offering the new and the imported. Right now, Schoolgirls, or the African Mean Girls play, is up. Now, this one did play off-Broadway, where it was a hit. In fact, it has just been announced that the show is returning there in November, where it will be at the Lucille Lortel Theater. I can't think of another time when a play started there, went somewhere else, and then went back there. Anyway, right now it is drawing highly diverse, always a rare sight, audiences to Culver City. Written by Jocelyn Bio, it is directed, as it was in New York, by Rebecca Teichman, who won a Tony for directing, also a rare sight for a woman, a few seasons back. Now, she won for a play called Indecent. Schoolgirls is a better show, in my opinion. A cast of eight truly splendid actresses adorn this delightful, funny, moving, and meaningful version of what is the usual Mean Girls scenario. The clique leader, Paulina, berates one of her group for being overweight and not eating enough fiber. "Like we know what fiber is," says another BFF. They each fit stereotypes, but they also manage to make their characters unique and yet identifiable. When the 75-minute piece ends, we feel we know these girls and want to be their friends. Other characters include the headmaster of this girls' school in Ghana and two crucial visitors. One is Eloise, the former Miss Ghana of 1966. That's her one claim to fame, who shows up to recruit for this year's pageant. She's haughty and hilarious and yet clearly insecure and aiming for a promotion. And then there is Erica, the new girl to the school. Just like in Mean Girls, you'll recall, there's always a new girl. And therein begins the primary competition between Erica and Paulina, as they both vie for the current Miss Ghana title. Now, this being Africa, and these being girls of color, issues like skin bleaching and whose upbringing has been worse come into play. The drama ultimately centers on whether to cheat and lie for an allegedly good reason. "You can't get anywhere in this world by playing fair," says one character. Well, everyone involved with this production should get wherever they want to go. I imagine most of the cast will be headed to New York for its happy return. Now, the second show I saw this past week is at the tiny Santa Monica Playhouse, where I used to take acting lessons as a teen, I might add. It is called We Should Hang Out Sometime, and it's a one-man piece by and starring Josh Sundquist. No, I didn't know his name either, but I do now. He is a popular motivational speaker, best-selling author, and a member of the United States amputee soccer team. Yes, he has one leg and uses crutches rather than a prosthetic. Josh Sundquist is 34 and, on top of everything else, almost qualifies as a stand-up comedian. But his stories and humor are more observational rather than three beats and a punchline, and largely directed at himself. This is basically the story of his life, beginning with losing a leg to cancer at the age of 9. He takes us through high school, his attempts at the dating life, "We should hang out sometime," was his pickup line, college, grad school, as a Paralympian, and finally to meeting the woman who would become his wife. Sundquist relates how others respond to his missing limb. "When will it grow back?" is not an uncommon question. Did you lose it in Vietnam? Ask others, obviously not doing the math. He tells inquiring children what it's like to lose a leg. Well, it's like losing a tooth, he says, except the leg fairy comes. He has honestly been offered airline seats with more leg room. He argues he should get a discount for needing less. The show, which could be cut 15 minutes, plays only on Friday nights and has such good word of mouth that it keeps getting extended. It's a true audience pleaser. Sundquist interacts with them often, asking for made-up names for former girlfriends, or even for examples of how strict their parents were. He has an amazing memory and comes back to the responders throughout the show. Josh Sundquist is an endearing and warm-hearted performer, what he calls a half-glass, half-full amputee, something like that. His physical abilities are almost as amazing as his agile brain and quick wit. He's on a small Santa Monica stage now, but I suspect he will be taking this one around, so remember the name. So that's it from Out West. Lots opening in New York when I return in October, including new plays by other unique voices, including Kenneth Longerman and Jez Butterworth. They are two of the most celebrated playwrights working today, one American, one British. They're not new to the stage, far from it, but their voices are strong and always sound like something you haven't heard before. Well, that, Jill, is what I call original.
Happy, happy, happy to hear original, because we know that you like it. One of the things, though, that I was thinking about from, I don't know, it was either last week or a couple of weeks ago, is just regular, quote-quote, fare, you know, that would inspire kids or people to just come, you know, that wonderful magic of the first time you see a Broadway show. And I started wondering, are the Disney, there's still some Disney things open, yes?
Oh, my God. Lion King is still a sellout most nights. You're not going to find that on any half-price tickets. I think Aladdin is up, and of course Frozen, the most recent one. I think that still sells out every single show. You see those little girls every time I ride a subway heading to the theater district. I know the ones that are heading to Frozen. You know, they're in their little...
They're also the colors were... Yeah.
The little blue fairy things. And, of course, Harry Potter is...
Right, right, of course.
Possible ticket, yeah.
And then there's... Is Anastasia? I think there might... Anastasia might be open.
I guess so. I must say, I remember hearing about a closing notice for it, but apparently you can still buy tickets for it. I would ask you to check that out. Check that out. If it's still playing, it's not here for long. But, you know, you never know with these things. Last week we talked about jukebox musicals, and I had heard that the Go-Go's musical, Head Over Heels, was about to close. And yet I saw a big ad for it yesterday. So I don't know. Sometimes maybe it's rumors. Sometimes producers do this to try to drum up quick sales to save a show, which has happened before, as we know. So I must say, I thought Anastasia was closing, but if there's still tickets, then by all means. I don't think I've heard of the next one. I'm not even sure there's been a Disney feature since Frozen that was that big. But I'm sure there'll be something else coming. And, you know, whatever you say about Disney, you know, they're getting little kids to the theater. They're looking around and seeing all these people and all this amazing stuff in front of them, and hopefully they'll become the next generation of theater goers, you know?
Right, because that's absolutely what you need, is you bring in the next generation and then you try and widen their exposure. But it's that moment of magic. And I think that you also said when we spoke, how many times, it was about Mamma Mia and how many times you took your dog.
Oh, yeah. Three times, I think. They got to know her, you know, the actors. We'd have to go behind, you know, wait outside and get the autographs. And I mean, look, I took her, I think her first show was, her first show was Peter Pan. She was three, and then it was Secret Garden. But okay, she's somebody who got quickly addicted to it. Not everybody does, clearly. You know, even this little one-man show that I just saw in Santa Monica, and this is a man with one leg, you know, which could be kind of an odd sight, and he, you know, for children. And you know what? People had they brought their children to see it. And one kid in particular was responding to him on stage when he would ask things from the audience. What's the strictest thing your parents ever, what was the strictest rule you grew up with? And all of a sudden this little boy's voice yells out, well, I'm still a kid, he said, but I can tell you what I have to live with. And it was very charming, you know, that he felt comfortable enough to do that. He interacted with the man on stage. And I thought, gosh, he's going to go home and say, that was really fun. That was really interesting. Can we go see another?
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.